Blog Talk Radio.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we may be approaching a fateful hour. All night long, bulletins have been pouring in from Berlin claiming that D-Day is here, claiming that the invasion of Western Europe has begun. Let me read you several of the latest bulletins. One says that a report, unconfirmed by Allied sources, of course, says that heavy fighting is taking place between the Germans and invasion forces on the Normandy Peninsula, about 31 miles southwest of Le Havre. Another bulletin, also from Berlin Radio and unconfirmed, says that British-American landing operations against the western coast of Europe, from the sea and from the air, are stretching over the entire area between Cherbourg and Le Havre, a distance of about 60 miles. I repeat, there is no confirmation. And here's another bulletin just in. DNB, the German agency, says, this is unconfirmed, that the most important airdromes in the area of the Normandy Peninsula of France have been wiped out. Now, I presume that means wiped out by the Allies. As you may have heard on earlier broadcasts, all three German news agencies have begun broadcasting these stories that the invasion is here. But there is no Allied confirmation as yet. The first report came out shortly after midnight, and since then we've been flooded with reports from Berlin. Paris Radio, strangely enough, has not confirmed any of these reports. And now we have just been informed that we can expect, in a very few seconds, a very important broadcast from the British capital. And so now we take you to London.
The text of communique number one will be released to the press and radio of the United Nations in 10 seconds. Repeat, 10 seconds from now.
This is London. London calling in the home, overseas, and European services of the BBC and through United Nations Radio Mediterranean. And this is John Snagg speaking. Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force, have just issued communique number one, and in a few seconds I will read it to you. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. I'll repeat that communique. Communique number one. under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is New York, NBC Newsroom again. Men and women of the United States, this is a momentous hour in world history. This is the invasion of Hitler's Europe, the zero hour of the Second Front. The men of General Dwight Eisenhower are leaving their landing barges, fighting their way up the beaches into the fortress of Nazi Europe. They are moving in from the sea to attack the enemy under a mammoth cloud of fighter planes, under a ceiling of screaming shells from Allied warships. The first news flashes do not say, but a large proportion of this assault is believed to be in the hands of American men. They are making the attack side by side with the British Tommies who were bombed and blasted out of Europe at Dunkirk. Now, at this hour, they are bombing and blasting their way back again. This is the European front, once again being established in fire and blood, not only by the Americans and British, but by many allies in the fight against Axis aggression.
Well, there you go. Let me catch my breath. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show. The story tonight is invasions. Let me just read out the script, and I've got to thank Dave for the slides. I've got to thank Dave for that moving audio clip. Thank you, Dave. It's brilliant, brilliant. I say welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff Spider Mitchell. My panelists this evening, very grateful tonight, are Jan the Tornado Rene and Dave Agador Milner. Tonight we will be discussing invasions, the left's protests of President Donald John Trump's state visits to the United Kingdom, as if it were an invasion, and a true invasion of the UK and the civilised world, from diseased, socially limited, Islamo-fascist nations, whose people refuse to assimilate to the countries they overwhelm with the help of the power-hungry left. We also remember and give grateful thanks to those Allied forces who participated in Operation Overlord, the invasion of occupied Normandy, on this day, the 6th of June, 1944. Though corrupt socialist and communist politicos had appointed Eurocrats tried to make Hitler's dream of a European trading bloc come true forever, they will never succeed. We will honour the sacrifices made to keep us sovereign 75 years ago. They did not surrender then, and we won't surrender now. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was by the great late Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And that was by another great man, President John F. Kennedy. Without further ado, let me bring my awesome panelists in this evening. And that's Jan the Tornado Rennie and Dave Agador Milner. Good evening, my dear friends, and I hope you're well this evening.
Good evening, Jeff and Dave. Yes, I'm doing okay. Glad to be back and talking to you this night, this special occasion on 75 years D-Day landings. It's quite emotional.
Yeah,
did you see that?
I've got quite a...
19-year-old man parachuting.
That was amazing, Jan. I've never heard that before, and that was probably some of the finest work I've seen Dave put together. And Dave, I know you're there, brother. That moved me again. And I was listening to that, and that's probably done the same to you, Jan. It was moving, sterling stuff, Dave. Thank you.
Well, good evening to you, Jeff. Good evening to everybody in the UK, and good afternoon to everybody in the States and around the world, and, of course, off Earth. Yes, it was a moving time, and just dripping with irony when you consider today, and that is at least how I intend to approach some of this. 75th anniversary of the D-Day landing, you know, so much surrounds it, and so much sacrificed to make sure that Hitler didn't get his way. And yet so many people today working to see that Hitler does get his way. While they call us Nazis, they work to make the Nazi dream come true. You know, it was an emotional time listening to all of the clips, trying to put together something that would be appropriate to start this show off with. And there were things like King George's speech, of course, which is really good. You can find that on YouTube, by the way, folks. You know, there was plenty of BBC radio coverage of the of D-Day, but we're talking about hours worth of material here. So I came up with that, and hope it satisfies it. You know, kind of gives a sense of the first few moments that people had, knowing that the invasion had started. If you look in the slides, people, at vlogtalkradio.com. Well, thank you. I put in some of them in order, the D-Day slides. In order, I have the landings on Gold Beach and Sword Beach. That was the UK. This is primarily a UK program, so have to show that respect. And then Juneau Beach for Canada. And then, of course, Utah Beach and Omaha Beach for the United States. It's been quite a moving set of ceremonies, guys, that have occurred. And looking forward to hearing you guys, your impressions and everything. And we've got a few things involving some of that. So, yeah, guys, I'm looking forward to a program. And yes, I'm very happy to have Jan Rennie back with us to get her perspective on all of this stuff. So.
Yeah, Dave, once again, I think Jan would agree. I think we both listened to that so intensely and quite emotional, you know, because you could imagine back in the day, Dave and Jane, you know what I'm saying, around the radio, listening, this is your loved ones who's fighting the enemy, and you're not sure whether you're going to see them again or whether, you know, whatever's going to happen. And it was, you know, the fear, the intrepidation. You didn't know how it was going to be. We knew the Americans was having a hard fight on Omaha Beach, and that was... Dave, that was a tough fight, wasn't it? That was, you know, the rest of the battles was tough for us all. But Omaha Beach, there was some heavy fighting, some heavy sacrifice. I think, Dave, I'm not sure of the numbers. I think we were talking close on 10,000 that early morning, wasn't we, Dave? Were we talking about those sort of numbers?
We'll have stats later on, Jeff. Yeah, but lots of fighting. You know, in thousands of people or thousands of men dying, and you know, this, a lot of people had stories out of that, of course. And you know, well, Jen, you know, I hope you'll forgive Jeff and me, but of course, you know, James Doohan, who played Scotty on Star Trek. And a lot of people don't know this, you know, a lot of people who sneer at Star Trek, a lot of people don't know this, but James Doohan was one of the soldiers, one of the Canadian soldiers that landed at Juneau Beach on D-Day. And his main comment about the whole experience was that he was less worried about getting shot by the Germans than he was about dying under the weight of all his equipment that he had, which that happened to not a few people, you know. But yeah, that's only one of the many stories. But Jan, your initial thoughts on this time.
The one, obviously we're all too young to have witnessed it, and as you say, it was done by, you know, afterwards on radio broadcasts that they heard the news of what was happening. But D-Day takes me back, although it's just a movie, is Saving Private Ryan. When you watch the opening scenes of the landings in Omar and the
Utah.
Rest of Utah, and it's just absolutely horrendous that the way they were killed in the sea, the way they were running towards the shore to get into combat. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of lives lost that never even got out the sea. And to me, that was so realistic. It I find it extremely upsetting and extremely moving that these young men, and even up until, you know, middle age, doing what they did that day.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dad. I'll tell you this just as a an aside here. There were some D-Day veterans who were invited to go and see the movie, and some of them had to walk out because they said, "Yeah, that was as close to what really happened as they've ever seen."
Yeah, that's how I look at it. I've watched it quite a few times. The whole movie. There's the one part I do flick past very quickly is when the one boy is so badly injured that they overdose him with morphine over and over again, and he's just crying for his mum. I have to skip past that one.
Yeah.
But very realistic, and it's as though you're almost there with them, and it kind of gives you some light as to what went on. Obviously, you can't experience it because you weren't there. Horrendous. And what really, and I'm gonna cuss now. I'm gonna say what really pisses me off is these low life scum in the UK right this week calling these men and, you know, Nazis. The very thing they fought all those years for. And they're being called Nazis. This is the ignorant lefties, the ignorant liberals of society.
Oh, yes, I agree with that completely. In a, you know, Jeff, you know, I'm sure you agree with this. It's like, you know, listening to this stuff on the radio, the young people today, you know, and I'm going to sound like an old fart saying this, but then again, I am, you know, to quote my brother, scaring the poop out of 60. They have no concept of information exchange. I mean, back then, this was the largest invasion ever organized in recorded history, and it took literally hours for people to find out about it in the UK and in the States. And radio was there. There was no interaction. Forget interaction. You just had to stand by your radio and wait for bulletins and updates and things of that nature. It was all one way. And, you know, it's fascinating to listen to the stuff from the NBC studios in New York, because they were getting reports from overseas just by shortwave radio. And it just so happened that the conditions were good enough to where they could get them. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, again, who are younger, that is the way it used to be. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry, Dad. I think a lot of
go ahead.
The things that was coming through to NBC and all these other stations was from, like, the French Resistance. It was there, close by, who was told to attack at the same time, and they were getting messages coming through exactly how things was unfolding. You know, I don't think we realised how big this picture really was, do we, Dave? Until we sort of investigate it more of what was involved. Everybody was told, right, this time there's a thing, you're going to go, and that's it. And it's an all-out attack against the Nazis, wasn't it? It was such a time, I mean, to look back now. It's very moving because we know of the great sacrifice. Those young men were going into battle, and it must be pretty scary. I don't care who you are, I don't matter how tough you are, to think as soon as you hit the landing craft comes down, you're running towards the beach, you see your friends either side, you're being shot. You think, I've got to do this, is my job, I've got to do it. But can you imagine that adrenaline that was flowing through these young men's bodies as they was running towards the battle? Absolutely.
The men themselves were not told until a few hours before what they were going into. Unimaginable warfare. But, of course, it was all top secret, as it is today. If you think back quickly to 1982... With the Falklands War, I think we waited about a week before we got any news of what was happening. A good week, because my ex-husband and my brother were both there, and we waited on news, and it was quite a while even back in 82. But in them days, when you can't have any visuals and just you... And, yeah, I agree. It was probably the resistance that got most of the news out, and, of course, the radios were so important... They laid the bodies across radios to protect the radios so they could get news back. I mean, and you know what?
The Morse code, how big a thing that was, Jan. Morse code, Jan and Dave would played up such a big part in the war, didn't it? Amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's because...
It's just,
go ahead, Jan.
You know, the whole event, the whole thing... And it's laid heavy with me today, 75 years on, and Jan, I look around me and I see these pacifists, because that's what they were called. There was a word that they was called, people who didn't want to be involved in fighting in the war, what they call them, pacifists or whatever. But this is where we are today with a lot of these
fascists, because put them in the front line, pick them up, throw them out the boats on the front line, and see what war is.
Well, they don't know what war is. That's the point.
I think you've got a good idea there, Jan, and probably same
they
with
have
yourself.
No, they have no conception.
It just upsets me to think we are, myself, you, Jan, Dave, and many, many others. I mean, the unsung heroes out there. If you're listening, guys, I am talking about you guys. The unsung heroes. We don't want you to be identified because you're doing awesome work. And we're at war. Once again, we're at war with our own government, our own people. But we've got to fight. I can't believe that we're in this time, Jan. You know, that's what's upset
me. But
you know, Jeff,
think about this one. I'm going off track a little bit here, but it just shows that we're still outnumbering the leftist liberal morons that we've got in this country. When you think about last week, all that talent that was on Britain's Got Talent show, who won? A 91-year-old man who couldn't really sing. He wasn't great. But he came on in his Chelsea uniform, and he sang, and he won the final by sheer numbers of telephone calls. So that's a bit of hope that, you know, we should outnumber them. They might be on the streets and barricading pubs and flying Palestinian flags and liberal flags and all the rest of the crap they want to fly, but we should outnumber them. Where, you know, common sense comes to the fore. And I believe...
It does. I mean, it's the... you know, the majority, the silent majority is still there. The silent majority, you know, the those ones, so few, like myself, like you, Jan, like the EDL, you know, we know our numbers, but we know there's a great swarm of people that follows us, across the world. We know that. So we are really important, even though our numbers might not be as great as they was. We're still out there. We're still doing our thing. And the fight continues. And it seems sad that, you know, that we once again, we got to government. This government isn't like the government that was during that, 75 years ago. We had a really strong, a man who's a legend. He'll always be my legend. He's one of my heroes. He's one of your heroes, Jan, and I know he's one of Dave's. But we this time we live in now is totally different, and that's to what it was back then. There was, I don't know, there was more camaraderie amongst us all. We was all, you know, do things. We also had a dark sense of humour with things, didn't we, you know. It's still there. It's still there. Except the what we got in front of the enemy now is really sad. That's been indoctrinated in our schools and our universities, and then you're seeing that over in the United States as well, Dave, aren't you? We're seeing this. It's you know, maybe we got to go through these dark times again, Jan and Dave. I don't know, but I will never ever, the same as yourselves. And our listeners out there will never forget the sacrifice that was paid to keep us sovereign, as it said in the script, keep us a sovereign country. But we got a government that's trying to give it all away once again. They betrayed, this government's betrayed us, haven't they, Jan? Our democracy, they killed our democracy. I'm sorry if I'm a bit emotional, but it's when I think of it in the true light of all the sacrifice that was paid so that people call themselves in power, the traitors within, they are the true traitors, could do this to our people.
You know, it doesn't bear thinking about what these men died for when we're sitting here giving our governments are giving our countries away. We have another invasion on our hands, and they have already said they don't need to fire a bullet, they'll do it by numbers, and it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we just can't wake people up as to how we're being invaded by as brutal a force as the Nazis, if not worse.
Oh, worse than the Nazis. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing, Jan and Jeff. You know, every time we try and wake these people up and tell them about the dangers of Islam, they insist on talking about radical Islam and you know, giving it the Nigel Farage shtick, which is, that's only a few radicalized Muslims and the rest of them are perfectly peaceful and blah, 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 blah. And it's really difficult to get these people to actually sit down and listen to the truth. And that's, that's the struggle that we're being invaded by people who want to completely, wipe out our way of life. And the way of life that it includes equality for everyone, so yet we're being called the Nazis. Well, guys, I think it's about time. We're about half hour into the show and, Jan, you may not know this, but this show, this particular show, is going to be chopped up into thirds, and it's going to be run over at SHR Media under the Unpleasant Blind Guy flag, my flag. I'm also going to be running once in a while, some regular Unpleasant Blind Guy shows. Jan and I have talked about one or two we might do. But we're going to be merged a bit with this show. And this particular show, guys, well, I've got shows loaded up already. And this particular show that we're doing right now is going to be on the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th of July, which I think is very apropos you know, because just because of the patriotism involved. And Jeff, with your permission, I'd like to go ahead and run the 3.5 minutes of SHR Media promos, and then we'll get right back into this, because I've got an audio after that, Jeff and Jan, from Avi Yemeni talking about President Trump's state visit that really sticks to the lefties. So, Jeff, are you guys
looking forward to that?
All right.
Avi Yemeni, he is far too young for me.
She fancies him, Dave. She fancies our Avi.
Yeah, she does. Of course she does. All right, guys. I'm going to go ahead and play this promo.
I've made a blush.
Nice one. All right, guys. This is going to be about 3.5 minutes long. You are listening to a special edition of the English Defense League radio show. And this from SHR Media.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Hey, this is Michael Wright.
And I'm Shannon Wright.
Join us for The Right Way with Shannon and Mike, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on SHR Media.
Why are they joining us?
For fun things like sports, politics.
Oh, maybe some news and entertainment?
And all kinds of other things.
Money and recipes and events, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so join us Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 a.m. here on shrmedia.com.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York, the Lid himself, Jeff Dunnett. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com. At Lid Radio, we fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunnett.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truth on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
The new show on the SHR Media Network, Sackheads Against Tyranny. On shrmedia.com, go there quick like a bunny, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, every Wednesday, live and direct on the SHR Media Network, shrmedia.com. Be there.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
And you're listening to the English Defense League radio show, a very special episode with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff.
And Jan, the tornado, Renee, and Dave Agador Milner, my team.
Great to be here. Yeah, you know, really good stuff. And Jan, just to bring you in into this, Pastor Shannon Wright, one of the people who you know, who does the Right Way with Shannon and Mike, is now running officially, and she's announced publicly, you know, and everything else for the mayor of the city of Baltimore. So one of our own could actually be the mayor of a major American city. So, you know, we're following that very closely. But guys, as you both know, President Trump made a state visit to the UK for a few days, you know, to commemorate the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And things happened, I think you can say.
he had a bit of a dump on both of those Islamist scumbags.
yeah. If you look in the slides, you'll see one that I found off of Gab, Jeff and Jan. Little Sadiq holding up a sign saying, you know, retweet if you think I'm a stone cold loser. I did rather like that, I have to say. But you know, now before I play the audio from Ivy Yemeni, okay, and this one's you know, pretty involved, guys. You know, this is going to be about 12 minutes. Jeff, I hope you don't mind. Ladies first. Jan, what's been your impression of the whole Trump state visit with the backdrop of D-Day, the 75th anniversary, and everything else? What have been your impressions so far?
I knew that our Queen loves him. You've only got to look how she looked at him, how she welcomed him, how she looks at him over the couple of days that she obviously likes him very much. I think he's a little bit on par or getting there in the future with Mr. Reagan. But and his wife is adorable and impeccably dressed, which puts the other two to shame. When the Obamas came, she was like Scruff McDuff. And I could just see the difference between the Queen's demeanour towards the Trumps as opposed to what she was like to the Obamas. I really think the Queen likes him. I love the fact that certain people were not invited to the dinner because they're scumbags.
yes.
I just think
I'm going to have a giggle,
Jan.
That was funny.
I like the two of them, and I really think that they just belong. You can see that they've got class. That's what they've both got, class. My only disappointment is the embarrassing liberal, left-wing, Antifa a-holes allowed on our streets, and those creatures are, well, you know, from the cult.
Mm-hmm.
Sadiq Khan should be fired immediately, if not imprisoned, along with Jabby. As a Brit, I'm embarrassed that we have these people in office, sworn in by the Quran, no less, that they have the audacity to talk about Britain like it's theirs. They talk about Britain like they are British. They are not. It's another case of Takiya. Keep your mouth shut. You don't belong here. You certainly don't belong in office, and you certainly don't have any reason or any right to talk about the President of the United States. Notice these freaks did not fly any plastic pieces of crap in the air when Obama was here. You know, if they'd have only have done that with Michelle/Michael, strip it off naked and let the penis hang out. That's what I would have done as a right-wing person in my country. But we don't do things like that because we have class.
True.
Well said.
Melania is just beautiful. And she's a lady. You can see she's a lady. And
oh, she's beautiful. Dave, you should be so proud. Aren't we envious of Dave to have a great president? and, of course, this
most
the
certainly
first
are.
Lady is
and don't
just
forget,
breathtaking,
don't forget,
buddy.
He could even be prime minister of this country because his mother is British. Was British.
Yes.
You know.
Well,
yes,
well guys.
Dave, did you think of that, Dave? Wow.
Well, you know, think about, consider it this way. You know, I mean, President Trump can't be president past 2024. So, 2025, if you guys want to have an election, we'll see what we can do.
Can we please
steal
him over?
Well, come back and talk to us in 2025. Yeah.
No. Give him a palace.
So I'll give your president a tweet on that, Dave. I'll give him a tweet.
There you go. You do that, Jeff. Yeah, tell him.
Yeah,
tell him. tell him to, you know, he's got a job starting in January of 2025 if he wants it. You know, I'm not really sure a lot of the lefties would like that, but you know, I do know that that there are a few
well, we'll
people in the UK.
We'll excommunicate them. They won't have that. We'll excommunicate them, won't we, Jay?
Listen, there's a few schools need to be built, starting in Tower Hamlets, like 1,000 feet high.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Just build a big 1,000-foot-tall tube, you know. No.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
guys.
I think your president was thinking about building a I think they flew over towards Bradford. He said, well, that's a bit of a shit. He said, yeah, President, you can build a wall around it. Or he said, no, I'll build a wall around it. Or something. He says, fly down to Bradford.
Going over Bradford, he thought it was Mexico. He said, it's just a joke.
Yeah. I'll build a wall around it. And that good, Dave, eh? I felt so proud to have my country, and I felt ashamed of those people that were saying absolutely horrific things about him, and because it's really demeaning, isn't it, to us, myself and Jan, who we love your president, and we love everything that him and Melania stands for, and we got people around, you know, it was just, I don't know, what are they, the dregies of society, are they, Jan? They smell like anything, they're terrible. You know, they've got flies around them all the time, Dave. Even in the winter times. Is that bad?
Yeah, it is, Jeff. Yeah, you know what, Jeff, it is, man. And all I want to say about the walls thing, before I get into, Jeff, you don't mind, but before I get into the Avi Yemeni thing, you know, is a joke that I heard, you know, a little while back. I mean, walls work. I mean, look at the Great Wall of China. You know, they don't have any Mexicans. So, you know, I mean, walls work. it's been proven over many years. but Jeff, again, before I get into Avi's audio, how about you giving some of your impressions? But, you know, do you have anything more to say, you know, concerning the visit itself and everything?
Well, I just thought that the president and the first lady and the rest of the family and the entourage was absolutely awesome. It was breathtaking. And I felt very proud of our queen. And I was like Jan. She thinks a lot of President Trump, even though Charles detests him. He really does. See that smirk on his face? You know he just does not like him. And something else that you might not know, Dave, that Harry refused to go on the banquet, the ambassador's banquet. He refused simply because of...
his wife went to there.
What's her name?
His new wife
what's her
went
name?
To
that
there.
Kind of thing. Megan?
Oh,
Megan,
I don't know.
Whatever bloody name is, that lefty...
I thought it was Megan.
She's not going to be there forever.
Well.
I mean, the Queen's already... She wanted to wear some of the jewellery, you know. That was the first row. She wanted to wear some of the royal jewellery and thought that she could wear certain things that's only allowed for the future Princess of Wales, which is Kate. She doesn't know royal protocol. She's got a lot of learning to do, if ever she will, or is she too liberal to even bother to learn? But I can't see her last in the course.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed, guys, and I just want to horn in here, so to speak, is, you know, I put the Daily Mail put out an article. It was very good, you know, just generally describing the Trump visit and the ceremony at Portsmouth, you know, which just the Daily Mail do pictures very well. I'll give them that. They're not always accurate with their news, but, you know, they're the press. I mean, what are you going to do? But I noticed that, you know, in their pictures when they took pictures of the Queen and President Trump, you know, she's smiling and it really does seem genuine. This doesn't seem like the kind of a smile that, you know, you just do because you're being an ambassador for your people. She seems genuinely at ease.
Said that she was trolling the president. Can you imagine? This is what MSM was saying,
right,
Dave. Yeah,
well,
she was trolling the president. She
news does balls.
She felt warmth towards Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a likable guy. If you get to know the man, he's really a nice man. And she knows that. She's met so many dignitaries over the years, different persons. She knows. She's not a silly woman, is she, Dave? Is she, Jan, you know? So
the list of dignitaries
so
she's met has to
for
be
the left, isn't
hundreds.
It? And the MSM, isn't it, Dave?
Maybe
that's how I look at it.
Oh, the
did you see that common slot?
Which
Will,
one? You're going to have to narrow the field again.
I mean, Charles looked quite insignificant standing next to... He looked like he'd been pulled off the street. But he's...
love it.
His wife, Philip Barkerball,
well said, Jane.
Walking through the palace behind the president and his gorgeous wife, and a cameraman caught her winking at someone. One, women do not wink. That's a man's job. Two, don't bring your common flaws into Buckhouse. You know, and he wants to be queen consort, and that Prince Charles wants to be king. Let's see how the church reacts. He's a divorcee.
Exactly.
He's not a widower. He's a divorcee.
We remember what happened to Edward, and so do you, Dave. We remember the story of Edward having to advocate because of a divorce.
Oh.
And it's the same
situation.
There's
been more than one movie
here,
about
it,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's been more than one movie about it. And Jeff, you know, I mean, what is it? Let's see. Okay, it's not – I don't think it's Harry, but I think it's the other one who would be next in line. Isn't it Jane, or am I wrong?
No, it's William.
William. Yeah.
William,
yeah.
Okay.
And Kate.
Right.
And, of course, they've got three children now. So the further away Harry and his wife get from the crown, the better. The same as Fergie. I mean, she was nothing but a tramp. I knew that when she was allowed to marry Prince Andrew that she wouldn't last, of course. And there she is having her toes sucked before we knew it. I did say sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, you did.
Well,
you did say
right.
Yeah,
I've got to say, I won't spread feet, but there's the stories out there of... what Andrew had been up to, Jan, and really, really unsavoury stuff. We won't go into no details, not on this show anyway. But we've heard this, Jan, you've heard the stories, and so have you, Dave, and I don't want to share it with our listeners on the show, but I might do in future shows some things that we've come across over the time. That island and all that, Dave, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, mate? And you know talking about as well, don't you, Jan?
No, I'm completely in the dark.
What's his name? That guy that was invited. This was a horrible island where they invited pedos to go along and do horrible things.
The same island where Bill Clinton went.
I was thrilled. You drew me, Jan.
Yeah, the same sex island. The same sex island where Bill Clinton went.
Certain people in this world that really need shackled to a fence. Clinton
agree.
And his...
we all agree. His,
actually, she should be executed along with Obama for what they did to those poor soldiers. That to me is still raw, and it was 9/11 again. I know it wasn't the first 9/11, but that was like planned. The actual date of 9/11, when the ambassador was murdered along with those soldiers who fought.
Oh my God!
Right.
Yeah, and not allowed to be given aid. The actual commander, the American commander in Italy that was going to send them aid was told by the White House to stand down. It's just disgraceful. But listen, guys, I think Jeff, you might want to think about calling back in, and I'm going to go ahead and play if you don't mind about
that.
If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and play this audio from Avi Yemeni. This is where he talks about the Trump visit, and he's really good, guys. This is about just over 12 minutes long, okay? And this will give Jan a little chance to swoon. And, guys, here you go. This is the English Defense League radio show, and this is going to be Avi Yemeni. This was done on the 4th, so enjoy this, guys.
I want to start this video by first thanking all of you stone cold losers out there for entertaining me so much over the last 24 hours. In the lead up to President Donald Trump's historic visit to the United Kingdom, virtue signaling leftists such as Jeremy Corbyn, Owen Jones, and the pipsqueak himself, Sadiq Khan, took the opportunity to promote themselves by dividing the country about something that should have been absolutely bipartisan. The President of the United States has traveled to the UK on a three-day state visit to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings, the largest seaborne invasion in history, and the crucial turning point in the war against Adolf Hitler. The President came on behalf of 320 million Americans from all walks of life. Ironically, some of the rhetoric these idiots regressed to was labeling the elected leader of the American people as a Nazi, even though he's there to celebrate the joint US and UK defeat of the real Nazis. Go figure. The media was no better. BBC and Sky News both used the famous Trump blimp to ridicule the president. But in true Trump fashion, his response was priceless, especially to the pipsqueak. Sadiq Khan used the days before his visit, pretending he speaks on behalf of all Brits in the media and online, branding Trump as a fascist and as a growing global threat, and demanding Britain not be rolling out the red carpet for him because it was un-British. Well, the moment Trump landed, he tweeted this in response. Sadiq Khan, who by all accounts has done a terrible job as mayor of London, has been foolishly nasty to the visiting president of the United States, by far the most important ally of the United Kingdom. He's a stone cold loser who should focus on crime in London, not me. And he's bloody right, you can't argue with that. The fact is, Sadiq is failing as London mayor. He's let the place become known as Londonistan, the stabbing capital of the world that is no longer an English city. I don't blame him for wanting to shift the focus from his failed job attempt to cement himself as the hero of the left. But Sadiq Khan is no hero, and he's very selective about which bad men he so bravely objects to coming to his city. He hardly had a problem with leaders of Saudi Arabia and China previously visiting, for example. Is he really claiming that Trump is worse than Mohammed bin Salman and President Xi Jinping? Really? Now for the icing on the hypocritical cake. Sadiq Khan, in his previous job as a lawyer, as a human rights lawyer, passionately defended the notorious Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, who has denounced white people as devils and described my people, Jews, as blood-sucking cockroaches, and even called Hitler a very great man. But apparently, Trump is the Nazi, according to him. Khan even led a legal bid for Farrakhan's ban on traveling to Britain to be lifted, and denied his client at the time was either anti-Semitic or a preacher of racial hatred. Yes, Sadiq Khan. The truth is, Sadiq, Jeremy Corbyn and Owen Benjamin don't speak for the majority of Brits. They are just a part of the very vocal minority. How do I know? Well, because recent history and the current polls tell us so. I'm not the biggest fan of Nigel Farage, especially in regards to his weird stance on Islam.
Define moderates. There is one Islam.
I meet them every single... I think you're missing the trick here. I think you are saying that everybody that's Islamic is, you know, hard line on the religion. The vast majority are not. The vast majority of people of Islamic faith living in Britain are pretty well integrated into our society. I'd lots of them vote for me.
But I can't wait to see him become the next Prime Minister of Great Britain. And he will, 100%. The man launched his Brexit party less than 3 months ago, which smashed their way through the European elections. They're going to be walking into the EU as the largest single party to be represented there. The best part is they won on the single issue of leaving that same corrupt institution. But it gets better. Nigel Farage's party, the Brexit Party, is now polling higher than both the major parties in the UK. This proves that Trump's good mate Farage is more popular than any of those clowns. People might be scared to show their public support of the Trumps and the Farages in a real fear of being labelled a fascist, a Nazi, or even worse, losing their jobs. But when given the chance in the privacy of the ballot box, the majority of Brits stand with Farage and by association with Trump. So you morons who actually followed Corbyn, Owens and Khan onto the streets of London to protest Trump with your sad little blimp. Firstly, remember, the only reason you're out there today is because of the heroic British and American forces that fought, bled and died that day 75 years ago to protect your freedoms to do so. Try show some respect. And know that all your jumping up and down changed nothing. President Donald J. Trump is enjoying his state visit and the red carpet was rightfully laid out for him. I met you all last time you had a hissy fit about Trump in London, and I realised then that you did not pose much of a threat.
Are you calling Trump a monkey? My question is, would you do that with Obama? Would you call Obama a monkey?
No.
Oh, that's racist, guys. What do you hate about Trump?
I think he's got mental health.
He's got mental health issues. That's a good argument. Let's say he's been cleared by a psychologist. What policy of Trump's do you not like? What do you hate? What's his...
I'm against Trump. I'm also against Trump.
Oh, yeah, you've got
yeah. Very anti-Trump. I mean,
what policies of Trump don't you like?
Well, I don't like the fact, generally, that he's been pushed around by the NRA. I don't like the fact that he thinks he can stick in everyone else's business. For example, he's telling Theresa May how to handle the Brexit deal.
Can I ask how many of you are here today?
What do you mean? There's two of us.
Why is there only two of you?
Well, why is only two of us? Flights from Australia is very expensive.
Here, like
and the
hours.
Jet lag is certainly not worth London. No offence to good London people, but...
there may be others here. Yeah, where are they?
I don't know. Probably too scared to show their faces.
What is that? What was the question?
The question is, why is there only two of you here?
What are you referring to as? Aussie? Who are you talking about?
I don't understand what...
What's the question?
Can you... two Australians or two people or...
What's the translation?
Yeah.
What are you referring to?
I don't understand.
We'll answer your question happily. Just speak English, because we're in London. I know most people here don't speak English anymore, but... All right, cool. Let's keep moving.
What's
you're happily disrespecting proud Americans, millions and millions of Americans, and those that have died for that flag to defend the rights you get to enjoy. The fact that you get to stand here today, the fact that you get to stand here today and do this is thanks to people who fought for that flag. Disgusting, disgraceful, and these people don't realize it.
So you're the leader of the white supremacy.
In fact, thanks to you, the majority of the UK is now waking up. They're sick of your petty tantrums, and you are the ones that are literally motivating the people to vote for the exact change you are so desperately trying to stop. Continue screeching your pathetic echo chambers and just try and enjoy both Brexit and Farage and a Farage-led government coming your way. But maybe take fewer drugs so you don't get to miss all the action.
We are sensible defenders of humanity and freedom and non-racism and non-oppression. Those people in there are fascist, evil scum. They want to harsh us, they want to crush us, they want to hurt black people, Asian people, Muslim people, white people, gay, straight, anybody. There isn't a fascist piece of peace. If they're not fascist peace, they will attack you. You've got to be non-fascist and let them know we are not mugs. We are not going to be hurt. We are not going to be crushed. We're going to stand up. We're going to fight. We are not taking this shit from this scum.
Because the truth is, most Brits agree with the naked cowboy that I met a few months ago in New York.
Trump's gonna take those regulations off the back of those corporations. Sounds like a good idea to me. Trump's gonna build a wall. That wall's gonna protect us all. Sounds like a good idea to me. Gonna get the economy moving again. We're lower taxes for you, my friend. Sound like a good idea to me. Gonna finally scrap Obamacare. It's a piece of crap. It ain't fair. Sounds like a good idea to me. Trump supports all the ladies' family leave for their babies. Sounds like a good idea to me. LGBT's okay, but three bathrooms is a little gay. Sounds like a good idea to me. It's gonna go down in the annals. Trump got the bang, Stormy Daniels. Sounds like a good idea to me. Trump gave NAFTA square. NAFTA or NATO. Make them pay their fair share. Sounds like a good idea to me. Was all day. Gonna protect Israel's Iron Dome to keep those nukes from flying home. Sounds like a good idea to me. So thank God for Donald J. Trump, my friend. Keeping Western civilization great again. Sounds like a good idea to me. Don't be a chump. Support Trump. Get us out of this economic slump. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Oh my God. God bless America. Bless America.
All lives matter. Throw those thugs in the slammer. Sounds like a good idea to me. All day, baby. Trump 2020. Anything else is stupid.
Wow. Everything Abby said and nodded me. And I know Jan loves Abby. You know what I mean? Something that he didn't talk about, which I did love that. I loved that audio, Dave. It was brilliant. And the actual video was excellent. But something that he did, and I thought he might, actually Corbyn wanted to visit, to have a meet with Donald Trump. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't want to meet him. He's too negative. Sorry, it was a slap in the face for Corbyn. I would have loved to have seen his face when he was turned down like that. So you know what? Donald Trump, you give us all in the UK an absolutely quality time, man. He's a showman, Dave. He's a showman. What a leader. Oh, my God. And I heard him today, and it was very moving, Normandy. things that he had to say there, and some of the people that he spoke to, and he gave a lot of them a cuddle, and it moved me, Dave. It really, really moved me. You know, so that's what I'm saying. I've been quite emotional today. But something I will say, that one of the highlights of the week to me with the state visit was to see the lefties with their blimp going along doing their thing and a lady on a mission. Base Amy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in. I'm going in. And there this lady laughed. Still, give me a one, guys. Shall I do this? Click, click, click. I'm going in. Pop. And what you heard was the most funniest thing. You hear, good guy. Well, I think he's a Muslim because he went, hello. And I think he was so shocked at the pop that he couldn't get the Akbar out. This was classic. And Amy's walked away. She cut her hand doing it, Jay. She cut her hand. But she was laughing. She said, that was my birthday. It was a birthday as well, Jed. It was a birthday. She said, this is my birthday treat to myself. And she said, I've done it, guys. I've done it, baby. Look at it going down. She goes, look at it going down. And there it was. And, of course, the snowflakes just didn't know what to do as the baby blimp descended onto the ground. Woe is them. Spinner, my middle finger. And Amy, you, based Amy, is a legend. All the papers hit her with it. Her angry lady comes through the crowd and bursts the blimp. It was all over the Sun, the Daily Mirror, the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, in every paper. She made it big time. She's become a star overnight, Dave. That lady's...
I'm sure the president
is getting he had a lot of tweets about it. People tweeted it on.
Yeah, talking to the president, a 93-year-old British DJ veteran yesterday pointed to First Lady and said Donald Trump. We have an echo. Hang on.
Yeah, sorry. Jane,
if only I was
call back
younger.
In, love, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff, try to call back in.
Yeah,
Jeff, there you go.
93-year-old veteran says to President Trump yesterday, pointing at Melania, if only I was 20 years younger. And President Trump's response, you could handle it, no question about it, he said.
Well, that's Trump. That is President Trump all over right there. You know, I mean, he knows this is part of his New York heritage, his New York City heritage. I mean, you don't come from that city, and even if you are in a part of the upper crust in that city, you don't come from that city and not know how to banter back and forth with people in a friendly way. You know, whether it's you do it in a friendly way or you do it in a very, you know, unfriendly way. I have to admit that, welcome back, Jeff. I have to admit that, as what Jeff was talking about, based Amy, she did a really, you know, good thing in my opinion. Okay, look at it this way. The lefties said that the Trump baby balloon—I won't bother calling it a blimp—balloon was their expression of free speech. Well, her based Amy popping that thing was her expression of free speech. And before lefties, before you guys get too too emotional and have to change two more of your diapers, you might want to think about the fact that you've been expressing your opinions with milkshakes. And guys, I'm about to do a show that proves that your little expressions of your opinions with milkshakes is no different than those views expressed by the white race bigots against the black people that were sitting at lunch counters in the 1960s over here in the United States. You know, it's the same mentality. It's the same bigoted mentality that those crackers had back then. So don't get up too high on your horse there, folks. Because you can't. So yeah, and by the way, I haven't told Jeff this yet, but I do have Based Amy's initial podcast from right after she got back, and I'm not playing it that right now, Jeff, because it's like half an hour long, brother. But I'm thinking about this for Sunday. And Jan, I don't know if you'll be able to join us Sunday, but if so or if not, I'm thinking, Jeff, if you're cool with it, we might just make that a part of the program and give Based Amy a proper congratulation. Just let her opinion come out there,
Not sick, now, guys, the trouble is, Dave, what had happened, you probably saw the video, that they took a MAGA hat away for her with all the badges on it and everything. And they took a phone
now
away from her as well.
I can understand taking the phone, but the MAGA hat, what the hell is that?
What's that about? Oh, maybe the badges have got pins in them and they thought she might damage herself or something. Some crap they're making an excuse up. They're scared she might damage herself. Do you know what they tried to say to her, Dave? That she'd had a drink. Amy doesn't drink. She was having a drink of water. And they were saying she fell over because she had a drink. She doesn't drink. It's confirmed she doesn't drink. See the lies and deception what they tried to pull, didn't you, Jan? We've seen it all the time, haven't we?
Yeah, they don't know they make up.
You're right there.
That's exactly what Amy said. They're making it up. They're going to make it up now, guys. That's what she said. And we all know what they're like. But the thing about Amy, she's fearless, isn't she? fearless.
I hate to think that the media in the next few weeks or so will invent some past about her that is derogatory.
They did about one of our heroes from London Bridge, didn't they, Jan? He was a hero and then
he
died.
Yes,
they
did.
Fuck you, remember? Roy Lara. Look at the crap they made up there. Because he done something that the police were too busy running and hiding. He took them off.
The cops ran away, and the same cops who ran away hiding from the Muslims on that night, they got medals, and the man who really did fight against the Muslims got nothing.
Abuse is all he received.
I think I've told you this. That Roy, he actually got a medal given to him at a boxing. He was invited to a boxing thing that was going on, and they awarded him with a Medal of Honor. What he did.
Yep.
That's from the boxing.
That is true.
Fraternity.
Yep.
So stuff them and their other medals. This was a real hero, and it was the people. This was the people. Giving Roy the great thing that he deserved because he put his life on the line.
They're creating a hero.
Not like the coppers who were and some of the main hardcore of the police was hiding in the car. We all know the story. It's all out there now. They should all be chucked out of the police force for hiding while other officers were dying or one of them died. And, it just goes to show you where we are today. Used to be years ago where the police used to run towards a crime. Nowadays, run, hide, and tell. Hide. It's not in our spirit, is it, Jan? I'm not a run and hide from anybody or anything.
It's not what we're about.
It might be the way the police are because they're a bunch of cowards now. Unless they've got guns in their hands. It's easy to be an hero when you've got a gun in your hand, didn't you? You know what I mean?
The police did make sure that
they stayed dead. I did see that the story was they were still moving on the ground, so they shot them. I thought, well, that's the way you're supposed to do it. You took them out in the first place. One shot each in the head, that's it. Job done, isn't it? But anyway, it happened. And as you say, I was very proud of... especially, Roy being a good old Millwall supporter. God bless her, Roy. I don't think he'll ever buy a drink again for himself for the rest of his life, Jan. It's our mill, we won't. But there's some stories, I mean, that because we was all having a bit, you know, in the Telegram room where I go to these days because of the censorship on these face crap wallers. You know, I'm spending a lot of time there. We was all having a bet. Who's going to take that blip out? Who's going to take it out? And there she was. She walked forward, come from the crowd, and punched that blip. Everybody was hysterical. We went crazy. Gab, you know, Jan, I was on Gab that evening, and I posted it straight away. It went berserk. Going crazy. It was magic. We need heroes, don't we, to come. Do you know what it reminded me of, Dave and Jan? You know when Tommy jumped over the fence that time and he ripped that flag out of that Muslim's hand?
Do you know what? Kind of move.
This was another defining moment. The Amy effect. This was the Amy effect. It was... Along comes a hero, isn't it, Jan and Dave? Along comes a hero and a lady, a true patriot lady. And you know what? I know, Dave, if Jan had been there, do you know what? Jan would have done it as well.
I'm just envious that I didn't.
If you'd have been there, you'd have done it, Jan.
If I'd have been there, I'd have been arrested, locked up.
Yeah, well, Amy said, I'm going to do this and get arrested. You do know that, guys. That's what she said, didn't she? Let's see what Dave just said.
Of course, they want to do that. You know, if it had been that Sadiq Khan, balloon that they made, then no, there would have been no arrests. But in this case, of course, they had to arrest her. And I'm guessing they kept her MAGA hat.
I just want to let you know, that they didn't press no charges. The ones whose balloon it was didn't press the charges. And that's what she's saying. Look, you know, they're not pressing each other. What is your problem? Do you know what they tried to do?
Well, the customer at 35,000. The last one was 35,000 quid. Pounds.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, okay, I guess I can.
Too much publicity for them. It's too much publicity.
Yeah,
that's why they said, no, don't in the press, no charges, because they knew exactly what was going to come their way. But the police decided they still wanted to charge her, so they said because she had a sharp implement. It was a pair of ladies, or I think it was a pair of dog scissors. You know the little dog scissors you cut the nails with, Jan?
That's what it was, yes. If I can finish this, I think they took her MAGA hat. The excuse they'll probably give for that is that some of the pins on it they'll probably say they were offensive. You know, that'll probably be the excuse, because otherwise they would have no reason to keep the MAGA hat, none whatsoever. Anyway, guys, just to wrap things up with the D-Day remembrance here, we do have a few other things to go here. This is a very short summary of D-Day that I have here. It's only it's about six and a quarter minutes long. Now, this is really kind of for younger viewers in a way, but it does have a lot of good information on it. And I decided to go with this one. Actually, it's about 3.5 minutes long. So, guys, I'm going to go ahead and go with this one. It's got a lot of statistics and things on it. Jeff, with your permission, I'll go ahead and roll this. And I know we've got some final comments. Okay, here we go, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show, by the way. Here we go.
Hey, everyone. Corey Simeone here. I'm a private history educator, and today we're going to talk about the Allied invasion of Normandy, also known as D-Day. This attack took place on Tuesday, June 6, 1944. It was delayed one day due to weather. General Eisenhower didn't like the conditions, so he delayed it from June 5th to June 6th. The operation was in two phases. First, the airborne assault, the paratroopers. something that had never been introduced in warfare before. Guys who got their parachutes on, jumped behind enemy lines, were surrounded by the enemy, but would attack from within. 24,000 British, American, Canadian, and Free French paratroopers took part in this invasion. Now think about what that would have been like to fly over the English Channel. It's dark, you have 30 to 45 minutes to think about what you're about to do. You're a single soldier, you're jumping by yourself into enemy lines. You have your equipment, but you're basically surrounded by the enemy. You might not know where you are. You're jumping at night. And what happened was many things went wrong. They missed the drop zones, known as the DZ. So when soldiers landed, they had no idea where they were. Often their equipment got lost. They didn't have a gun necessarily, possibly only a sidearm. So you can imagine the confusion that was involved in this. The amphibious landing was the other part of the attack. The Allied infantry and armor divisions all got in ships, got from the English Channel onto the coast of France, and landed there in the early morning hours, around 6:30 a.m. Now think about what it might have been like to be in one of these amphibious craft. You're packed in tightly with your fellow soldiers. All of a sudden the door opens. Light blares in, and half your company gets shot right away. So you can imagine, then after that, if you're still alive, you have to get out of this craft, run towards these enemy embankments. If you made it to the beach, you had to find cover, which is pretty hard to find. And then you had to figure out a way to actually assault these German fortifications. That must have been an incredibly scary experience. D-Day was the largest amphibious invasion of all time in all of recorded military history. 160,000 troops took part in this. Over 5,000 ships. Landings covered a 50-mile stretch of the Normandy coast. 50 miles. D-Day is usually considered the turning point of the war in Europe. From Normandy, the Allies were able to attempt numerous invasions of Germany, some of which were repelled, such as Operation Market Garden. But the goal was to make Berlin, to capture Berlin. That was the seat of Nazi power, that's where Hitler was, that's where the Nazi administration was. If you could get to Berlin, you could end the war. That was the whole purpose. It took them about a year and a half to do so, but the invasion of Normandy was the beginning of the end for World War II. I'm Corey Simeone. Thanks for watching. If you'd like to learn more, please click on the links. Be sure to subscribe to stay current with our new videos. And if you don't see a topic covered that you'd like to learn about, please send an email to request@mahalo.com. Thanks for learning.
Wow, that was really, really interesting statistics there, Dave. And I was just listening intently. It's just amazing. You know, it just brings it so real to you, you know, putting your mind in your minds of those people, those guys that was jumping out the planes, not knowing the wrong place, you know, lost some of their equipment, something like, as they was in free fall, something like their guns, or they might just end up with the sidearms, like that guy was saying. Unbelievable. But the heroism, we'd be forever thankful, wouldn't we, Dave and Jan, for those brave men. And there was two women that died in that as well. There's two women. And I can't remember the names, but two women who died in what was going on that day as well. So, and I think they were nurses, Dave. If I remember right, I can't remember the terrible names, but I'm sure there's two ladies.
Sure.
But, yeah, as I say, we are down to the last little bit of this absolutely mega show tonight. Mega show. Mega. Yeah, okay. It was a little bit special. It was quite moving, and I was quite moved at the beginning. Dave, once again, for all, work you did putting that audio together at the beginning was incredible. And I'd like to pass it to Jan. Jan, really good to have you back this evening, darling. Thank you so much for joining us. And your final thoughts for this, historic day?
Kind of like what Avi Yemini has referred to Khan as pipsqueak. I like that. And really to reiterate what he said concerning D-Day and the freedom that we have because of them. And keep the faith. You can find me on, I have reinstalled myself back on MeWe, seeing as I'm getting such a battle on Facebook, but my intentions are to open a page on there, and that's where you'll find me. On Facebook, you'll find me on Christian Defence League and also on MeWe. No surrender.
Don't forget
keep the faith.
Gab as well. Gab's good, Jane. Good. Good is Gab.
And I'm going to investigate Parler as well, but not the... Not the graphic one.
We won't say no more about that.
Not the one I felt, but that was your fault. Jeff, Jeff, you see, that was Jeff's fault. Jeff does not know how to spell.
Ooh.
That's the problem, okay?
It was your lucky night, Dave.
No, evidently not. But, Jen, it's great to have you with us. Anytime you want to come in, you're always welcome to be with us. You're a part of us.
She's a part of that team.
I'll see when I'm working, Dave and Jeff. I don't know whether I'm working Sunday, but I'll
be there. We'll see. Sunday we'll be doing. We'll be talking about Base Amy and some other things. But yeah, guys. Before we take off, I just want to say that, as put in the script, and I want to thank Jeff for allowing me that freedom, 75 years ago, the Allied forces invaded Normandy and, went on to crush Hitler's dream. And Hitler's dream, folks, in case you don't know, was to have a giant European trading bloc where all the money would come back to Germany, to Berlin or Hitleropolis or whatever his twisted head had, for the capital of Germany to be at the time. And right now what we're seeing is the European Union trying to install Hitler's dream forever. And aside from Russia, they're getting very close to doing it, but there's all kinds of resistance out there. And I just want to say that I pray to God that my brothers and sisters in Europe, will keep on fighting this, because the sacrifice they made to keep that dream from coming true should not be ignored and should not be thrown in the ash can of history because of, diversity, multiculturalism, and political correctness and free stuff BS that people are eventually going to wind up not getting. Guys, don't forget their sacrifice. Patriots in the UK and all across Europe, never surrender to Islam or Nazism, which is the handmaiden of Islam and the handmaiden of the left, who have been acting like the very Nazis that they call us. Jan, love you, girl. Mwah. Jeff, you're the man. Always happy to work with both of you. And I just want to say to you guys, be prosperous and be blessed. No surrender. Back to you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Dave and Jan. And I'm right down to the last couple, or just under 2 minutes. I'd like to thank everybody that's listening in tonight. If you're listening to podcast, this was absolutely an awesome show. She's just told me I've got 90 seconds. But for anybody else, whatever feature you listen to, whatever devices, thank you so much for tuning in to the English Defence League radio show. And Jan, it was wonderful to have you return to the fold this evening. It was just spectacular to have us all together. But anyway, for myself, from Jan, from Dave, from the team, from everybody associated with the EDL, the radio show, and of course the EDL, our organisation out there, and all you patriots, no surrender, no surrender ever. And we've got to go underground. Good on, <Jack. laughs> There you go. As I say, we've come to the end of our live broadcast this evening. Very moving episode. It'd be great to listen into the podcast, guys. So please check it out. It was really an interesting radio show tonight. So from myself, from Dave, from Jan. We're going to sign off for tonight, and we'll see you again this Sunday. So, as I always say, you know, you take care, stay safe, and please be vigilant out there, okay? Please be vigilant. No surrender. No surrender ever. And with that, I'll just say this. This is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for tonight, but we'll be back again this Sunday. Cheers, guys.